Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two wheels. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and on this very special edition of the Tank Slappers podcast, I am joined by the dominant force in road racing at the moment, Peter Hickman. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We're here at Motorcycle Live, of course. Busy time for you, lots of signings after what has been an incredible, unprecedented year, really, with, you know, victories Northwest, TT on the brand new BMW, and then that amazing week at the Ulster Grand Prix, where you won all seven races, you know, took Philip McCallum's record away from him. I mean, just reflect on this year for us.
Yeah, it's been a really good year, you know. It could have gone either way with the brand new bike that we obviously got very, very late. It could have been a disaster, you know. You never really know which way the new bike could go. I was pretty confident that it was going to be a good step forwards, and fortunately enough, it was. You know, the bike's been really, really good. The team's worked awesome as always. All right, we lost the senior through you know, a bit of trial and error that didn't quite work in our favour. But apart from that, really, the rest of the year's actually gone really, really well. We made the showdown again in BSB. We were the only BMW again, third year in a row, that to make the showdown. We won at the Northwest with a brand new bike. We won at the TT with a brand new bike. Like you say, we won at the Ulster as well. It's been a good year. You know, I can't really knock it. It was a bit of a risk riding the new bike. You know, even BMW themselves were trying to push us to use the old bike this year, mm-hmm. Especially at the road racing, just because they said, look, you know it inside out, you're going to be fast on it, yeah, straight away. We don't really know where the new bike's going to be. And to be honest, it was myself and Darren, my crew chief, who was also the team coordinator for the Smiths Racing team. We pushed like hell to make sure we had the new bike, because if we didn't, you know, if we didn't start this year with a new bike, yeah, next year we'd be on the back foot.
Yeah.
And for me, the sooner we got on the back foot and learned what we needed to learn, the sooner we could go fast with it. And I'm not saying that I wrote the year off so much, but I kind of went, look, this year will be whatever it will be with a brand new bike. It could be good or it, mm-hmm, could be bad. But even if it's bad, we're going to learn for next year, yeah, and then next year won't be bad. So, you know, we both kind of pushed for that to happen, and fortunately enough for us, you know, the S1000RR, the new 2019 bike, has been absolutely phenomenal. Apart from that one hiccup we had, which was unfortunately in the senior, it's been pretty faultless all the way along.
And were you surprised at just how good this bike was straight out of the box? Because, I mean, as you say, it was late. You didn't have that much time before the BSB season started to get to grips with the bike. And then you get to the Northwest, you hadn't even seen a superstock bike, and you were pole and qualifying straight away. I mean, were you surprised at just how good it was?
Yes and no. I'd actually ridden a pre-production model quite a while ago, and was really impressed with it. So I knew that the potential was there already, but you just, again, you never really know until it all comes together. And like you say, the Northwest, I mean, most people don't know, but the Tuesday, the first practice or first qualifying, the super stock bike only got finished at midday. You know, we were still making, the team was still building the bike at midday, and we went out at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and straight away it was pole. I only did three laps, I only did one flying lap, and I was pole straight away, mm-hmm, on a brand new bike. I had to bed the discs in on the first, you know, first lap. So it was, to be able to do that straight away is pretty impressive.
Yeah, certainly. And of course, with the Superbike, you had a standard engine the whole year. There was no, there was very little updates to the factory bike and World Superbikes. And of course, that never trickled down to you a lot in BSB and on the roads. And yet, you were still able to be this incredible force at the TT, at the Ulster as well, where the, it's all about speed. I mean, that must just be so, you know, bode well for next year when you've got, you know, the proper engine when the bike's a bit more developed.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how strong the standard engine is, and I think that's the big thing, is the standard engine is already really, really strong. So although it's standard, it's, you know, it's not standard compared to last year's. It's a good step or two forwards from last year's. So even when we do get the superbike engines, they're not going to be that much faster than what we have already. Mm-hmm. So we're already in a strong position. You know, at the TT and at the Ulster and in BSB, I've been running what's called a Type 1, which is basically a super stock spec engine. So it's been blueprinted, it's all been balanced as far as weights between all the pistons and conrods and all that. They've picked the best of the best, but it's still stock. Not road bike engine, but it's stock. Having said that, super stock bike was on a road bike engine that was completely standard as it came to us. So, and that was still as fast as anything, if not faster than everything in the super stock class. So, you know, BMW's done a really good job with the engines as standard, and that's why we've been able to, even in BSB, be at the front. It's a little bit more difficult at BSB. We do need a bit more horsepower, especially with me. You know, I'm not the smallest rider on the grid by any means. So, you know, I could have done with a few more ponies for the top end, but apart from that, the actual bikes have been pretty awesome.
And obviously this year as well, you got the Tripper Triumph bike came on leaps and bounds. I mean, you, I remember you telling me that Triumph actually went and sourced a bike from America because the bike's out of production, and that, you know, led to those wins at the TT as well, and in the Ulster as well. So it's been this complete sort of package of, obviously with at the core of it being the Smiths team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Smiths team have done an amazing job for me over the last few years, and this year was no exception at all. The 675 Trooper bike was mega this year. It was the best it had been. You know, we had a brand new bike this year, which is the first time I've had a brand new bike. You know, we've been riding the old 2015 bike up to this year, so having that new bike definitely made the difference to actually get the win at the TT.
And I mean, this year I imagine must rank up there as, you know, probably the best season you've ever had. But it wasn't that many years ago that, you know, you weren't getting a ride in BSB. There was, it was rock bottom pretty much for a racer. Now you're here in such a short space of time. It's really been an incredible sort of rise.
Yeah, 2014. I didn't have a BSB ride. And I went to the Northwest. I went to the TT, became the fastest ever newcomer at the TT, and then managed to get a ride off the back of it and won a BSB race that year all of a sudden, and then not really looked back since. You know, it's been a really good kind of 5 or 6 years since 2014. So, but I'm lucky to be in the position I'm in. I'm lucky to be in the team I'm in, and you've got to make the most of it when you've got it.
And you're staying with the Smiths team again for next year. No surprise to anyone, but obviously now, with the way the BSB is, it's so competitive. The way the roads are now, it's so competitive, with everyone pretty much at the front taking up some sort of, you know, circuit activity. You need that more than ever. You need that continuity, surely.
Yeah, continuity is a massive thing. And yeah, more of the road races are becoming short circuit riders. Can't think why. But yeah, I mean, you know, I ride weekend in, weekend out pretty much. It keeps you really sharp. Also, riding the British Superbike Championship is such a high level. And I've been doing that kind of riding for a very long time, which is why I'm a lot better at it than a lot of the road racing guys, so it makes a big difference. But I can bring a lot of that experience to the TT and to the roads in certain areas. You got to be quite careful, obviously. But there's a few areas where I can gain on my rivals, shall we say. A few places where I can kind of short circuit style it a little bit and use the road a bit more in a few places and kind of plan my route out a little bit better, which gains me a few mile an hour, and that's what you need to be able to make the break.
I mean, looking ahead to next year, obviously Dean's come along a lot on the short circuits. Davey Todd's taking up the short circuits next year, and Davey's a rider that's generated quite a lot of buzz on the roads. You know, the usual guys are going to be there. It's getting harder and harder, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's really, really good. It's great to have the guys pushing, trying to push me along a bit. No, we all want to win. We want to win as easy as possible, but at the same time, it can be quite boring if you've just been able to win all the time. So
I don't believe that for a second.
Maybe not boring, but you know what I mean. If there's no challenge there, then there's no sense of achievement.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great that the guys are coming to the short circuits. They're learning more. They're learning how to ride a bike faster and really push it to its limits, and then being able to hopefully push me a bit more on the road.
There was one win that sort of slipped through your grasp this year. I'm not talking about the senior, of course, Macau, which was an interesting situation. I mean, first of all, what happened from the riders' perspective? Because we were told it's not going to be declared a result. Riders, we can't run the race Sunday, it's too packed, don't have enough tyres. And then a couple of hours later, we got a result through saying, actually, the real state, we can declare a result. So what was the situation from the paddock point of view?
Well, we were told the same. So we were told it was a no result. They were just going to cancel it all. And then a few hours later, someone said, no, we're going to have to make a result because we can't run it tomorrow. And there was a rumour of tyres and stuff, but to be honest, everyone had enough tyres, you know. And they didn't have to run a 12-lap race again. It could have just been a 5-lap race. Yeah. Well, the restart was going to be more than that. So everyone had enough tyres to definitely do a 5-lap race, you know. So that, for me, that was a bit of bullshit. They just didn't want to rerun the race. That was the big thing.
Yeah.
And then they decided to declare it on the second result, which was actually only one lap, which was the start lap. Chinese organisers. What can you say? Couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery, I think it's probably the best description. But and even under their own rules, actually, they didn't even ring true to their own rules, because we said, we've got to declare it from the second result because that's how it is in the car world. But actually, if you read the result, it wouldn't have been.
But anyway,
it is what it is. Michael was more than gracious. He was, he was telling the organisers that they were completely wrong. They needed to give me the race win. After the prize ceremony, they gave us the prize money. And he actually gave me the prize money for first. And
did
he? He made me take the give him the second prize money. He actually gave me the first place prize money, which anyone who knows Michael knows how tight he is. So for him to do that is, that kind of shows the measure of him. And also, he was my team boss technically as well, him and Faye. And I get, our agreement was that I got a bonus if I won, but I didn't get anything for second.
Mm-hmm.
And he's paid me the bonus as well. So, That
what
really,
a guy.
Yeah, that really kind of shows you the kind of measure of him.
And that sums up road racing for me. Is you go to world championships, World Superbikes, MotoGP, whatever, and there's certainly a lot of ego there. There's a lot of entourages running around riders and really bigging it all up. But in road racing, it's not the key. You wouldn't get that in anywhere else. That sort of way between you and Rutter, and it's almost made the rivalries between you and Dean and all that just so much better, because it's purer. If you know what I mean,
I think we all know the risks. I think because there's so much risk in the road race, and everyone really respects everyone else a lot more. That's not to say there's not risk in short circuit racing. Obviously there is, but the risk is a lot less. Mm-hmm. For road racing, the risk is massive. So everyone who's there we're all trying to put on a show, and we all have a big respect for each other. So regardless of whether you're first or last, it doesn't really make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really why all of us, even though we're rivals, we all tend to get on really well and all take the piss out of each other and have a good laugh. Cause life's too short.
Off track, your rise of on circuit has really led to sort of, you've become the figurehead of road racing almost. There's been so much, you're known everywhere now, it seems, through deals with Gas Monkey Garage in America, Iron Maiden and the beer and all the tour t-shirts you're on. What is that like from your perspective to have that sort of notoriety, I suppose, off track as well as on? Obviously everyone knows how good you are on track, but it's all this wider world that's been opened up to road racing because of you.
It's pretty awesome. I don't know if it's because of me, but I'm quite a lucky boy, really, to be quite honest. I know a few people here, there and everywhere, and same with life in general. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky to have some really good contacts and get some really good press out of it one way or another.
Yeah.
Like you say, off track as much as on track, so the connection with Iron Maiden's been pretty awesome for myself over the last few years. Like I say, with Richard Rawlins and Gas Monkey as well, you know, good mate Big Chris, who's part of the Gas Monkey crew, he's an English guy, he's now living in Dallas over there. Mm-hmm. You know, he's known them since before they were famous. So, and I've known him a good few years. So it's, you know, it's all, yeah, it's just how it's happened, I guess, more than anything. But it's great to have the involvement and the interest from from different different aspects and different. Different walks of life.
Yeah. Well, that's because road racing is so misunderstood from people outside of it. They see it and they think, this is crazy, it's dangerous, you should ban it. But then you put someone like you in front of that and then they think, oh, well, it's just like any other sport. It's just, it's not that different.
Yeah, it's a sport. That's what it is. I guess the only big difference is obviously our sport's extremely dangerous, whereas most sport there's an element of danger, but not normally life threatening. Whereas for us, there's a bit more at risk. But for me, that's also part of the pull of it. You know, it's a little bit. That's what makes it more exciting is that there is that element there, and you know whether you like it or not, at some point we're all going to die anyway. So why not enjoy it? You know, and I really enjoy riding on the roads. I really enjoy riding around the TT. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere where you can remove yourself from modern day life and all the kind of stresses, I guess, of modern life. So you can kind of, I'm in my own little bubble. I'm in my own little world, and I really enjoy myself.
It's almost like and nowadays everything sport is quite over. Sanitized a lot of the times. TT and road racing is almost like the last sort of bastion of sort of true sport. There's no, it's not even for the money anymore. It's for a lot of rides, it's not for the glory, it's purely for the challenge, and that must just make it arguably the best form of sport on the planet, because it's just pure challenge for someone.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think if you ask any of the riders, they'll all agree with that. Whether it's the last one around, I don't know. I mean, obviously mountaineering and stuff like that's pretty dangerous, but yeah, it's definitely one of the last that's less sanitized. Is a good word, good way of saying it, actually, sanitized. But yeah, you know, they're trying to make it as safe as possible, obviously, yeah.
And it's not a risk, you know, like a reckless danger. There's everything has been put in place. You know, the organisers do the utmost.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They're always trying to make it safer, as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. But again, the whole pull of our sport and the reason that it's so good is because there is that element of danger, and that's what makes it exciting. You won't get that reaction of people sat in a hedge somewhere and a bike going past 180 miles an hour.
Yeah,
that reaction wouldn't be the same if, you know, you go to somewhere like Silverstone and you've got to sit 200 yards or 300 yards from anywhere. The bikes aren't really going any slower. You go down the hangar straight, you're doing 190 miles an hour, but you don't get that sense of speed because you're so far back. So the wow factor is just not there. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why you go to Cadwell Park. Cadwell Park's not the most safest place on the planet. Why? But it's our most... Yeah. In BSB, it's the best attended event all year.
Yeah.
Why? Because you can get close to it, and because you can get close to it, you get more atmosphere. And because you've got more atmosphere, you can feel and sense the speed more.
Yeah.
That's what people want. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most people are kind of fed up with that whole PC world of everything's got to be this safe and that safe and all the rest of
it. 8 mile runoff.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. There's more to it. It loses its appeal.
Yeah. It becomes a job then.
Yeah, it's not just that. It just loses its atmosphere. You know, like I say, Cadwell, you can get within kind of 20 feet in some places of a bike doing a good kind of 90 to 100 mile an hour. It's fast.
Yeah.
You know, you go through Hall Bends, and Hall Bends is kind of between 70 and 90 mile an hour all the way through it, maybe even a little bit more, and you can stand within 20 feet of the bikes going past. And that feeling you get as a spectator is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's why Cadwell is one of the best, you know, attended events all year. The other one's Oulton Park, because you can get pretty close to Oulton Park and it's fast. Again, it's not the safest track in the UK by any means, but it's one of the best attended. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because of the crowd, get the atmosphere.
What's next for Peter Heckman? Because you've done everything on the roads. You've both BSB titles up there, but you mean, you did World Superbike wildcards this year, as broadening your sort of horizons in that respect, something on the radar?
I'd obviously love to go and do some more World Superbike here, there and everywhere, but as with most sport, and especially motorsport, it's down to money as much as anything else. I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity from the World Superbike team, the SMR team. I felt like I did a good job. Qualifying fourth, finishing seventh in race one was, you know, on a bike I didn't know, against world championship riders. So I was more than content with that. Hopefully in the future I get a chance to do a few more.
Pete, thanks very much for your company. And if you liked what you heard, you can follow the Tank Slappers podcast on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, and on Apple Podcasts via iTunes. The Tank Slappers podcast will be back very soon for more two-wheel chat. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.